Do you remember what happened to Snapper Carr? You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The mascot of the Justice League?
Yeah.
Used to snap?
I feel like I read him in something recently, but now I don't remember what it was.
What happened to him?
I don't know.
Well, how can we find out?
Probably the Google box.
No. There has to be an answer in this house somewhere.
That'll take a lot longer.
Oh, we've got the time. Hello, everyone. You're listening to Casual Wednesdays with Doom Rocket. I'm Jared Jones. Across the table from me is MJ Kramer. Every week, we talk about comics, or at least we try to. This week, stuff?
Yeah.
Things?
Yeah. Miscellany.
It's a junk drawer episode, folks. They come out every once in a while when we're hard up for a topic.
Also, current times make it a little hard to concentrate.
Yeah, we've been distracted.
Hard to focus.
Quite a bit. By obvious things.
Yes.
Yes. The comics industry is reeling from the COVID-19 pandemic. There are stores that are offering curbside service, shipping. Comic book stores are doing what they can to adapt to these changing times. But MJ, as retailers, we can scarcely keep up.
Yep. Although we are lucky enough to be in an area that doesn't have a shelter-in-place rule going on right now.
That's right.
We're not under a all non-essential businesses must close kind of a thing, which is thankful. So right now, comic book shops, if they want to stay open in the Chicago area, are allowed to.
For better or worse.
Yeah. Although most shops are also offering shipping and curbside. Some shops are offering that you can have a Lyft or an Uber sent to their shop to pick up their book for you. And then that driver will take their book back to you. You have to pay for your own Lyft, of course. For that.
But keeping stores open, especially in the Chicago area, is risky business.
Yeah, but Chicago so far has been lightly hit. You know, there hasn't been a lot, like, not like New York. New York's been getting hit. The San Francisco area has one of those shelter-in-place rules going on right now. That means all of their shops there had to close.
There are a lot of people out there right now that are feeling scared for their comic book store. So I figured we'd take a few minutes out of today's podcast to address this a little bit as an opener. What do you say, MJ?
Yes.
So there are people out there who want to help you, give you the information that you need. And wouldn't you know it, a lot of these folks are comic creators.
Which makes sense. Comic shops are the places to buy their things.
Their bread and butter.
Yes. Mm. But there are a bunch of comic pros who are actively trying to give comic book retailers a bump. There are a lot of them just like simply tweeting like, hey, make sure you try and go and pick your comics up this week. If you want comic shops to still be there once all this craziness is over. Jeff Lemire was tweeting such things, Rick Remender. But Leah Williams has been, I've seen her the most on Twitter, trying to get information from everybody everywhere about which comic book stores are doing shipping, which are doing the curbside service, all that extra stuff. And she's made this huge list, like a map, of all of the shops in the country that are doing all the extra things. And she's actually coordinating with Diamond to get that map matched up with their local comicshop.com listing of everybody.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because that's not her job.
No. It's
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's such an awesome thing to have done. So thank you, Leah Williams. It's amazing.
And MJ, where can you find that map right now?
Probably at her Twitter, which is at My Monster Is Chic. My Monster is C-H-I-C. Another comic pro who was doing his best to get a bunch of information on all these shops doing everything was Joshua Williamson. And then Morgan Perry, who is at G-E-A-U-X-T-A. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Goda?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's like the retail coordinator at Boom. She was doing the same thing of trying to find every comic shop that's giving its all to try and get their books to their customers.
So you can check these folks out on Twitter and see what they've got cooked up. Also, don't forget, always check out comicshoplocator.com if you need help finding the local comic store nearest to you, especially if you're in a rural area.
And if you already have a local comic shop, please call them and make sure they're still open. If you are having second thoughts about going in because you want to social distance yourself to your fullest, call them. They might be doing something extra. They might be doing curbside. They might be shipping. There are probably options for you. So give your local shop a call and patronize them if possible. They need it.
Since this is going to be our reality for the next who knows how long, you can count on Casual Wednesdays to give you guys updates in terms of all sort of COVID-19 related comic book news, up to and including the current status of Free Comic Book Day, which, as you guys know, is about to drop in a month.
But not anymore.
That's right. And that's our little segue to this week's news.
Diamond just announced a couple hours ago at about 5 that they are postponing it until later in summer. Mm-hmm. That is the most specific of a date we have.
Now, there was a little kerfluffle with that announcement. Apparently, somebody dropped a press release that they shouldn't have, so there may be a little confusion here. MJ, will you please clear this up?
This morning, apparently because, you know, they're having a lot of people work from home and marketing wasn't being communicative enough with each other, they dropped something that said that it wasn't going to be postponed or canceled. They were just going to expand it. So instead of Free Comic Book Day, it was going to be Free Comic Book May.
Free Comic Book May.
Throughout the whole month of May, which is still falling under that 8-week time period that the CDC has said is going to be when we need to not have any gatherings of over 50 people.
Right.
And I don't know about everybody else's stores, but ours gets over 1,000.
Yeah, we get busy on Free Comic Book Day.
That's probably not a good thing to be having during a pandemic.
No.
Yeah. So it is much smarter that they announced that was, you know, mistakenly posted, even though they already made graphics for it.
Yeah, they sure did.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they were just maybe floating that to see, hey, let's put this out real quiet, see if they notice, see what they say. And when all of us retailers were real upset about it, since a lot of places aren't even going to be able to reopen their stores yet at that point.
Right.
Because they, you know, they're mandatorily closed. Everybody's real mad. I am glad they either changed their mind or posted the correct thing or made the right decision.
There's no such thing as the right call these days. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And it's better if you just don't.
Well, Image Comics, though, the publisher, has been doing some great stuff in the last few days. They have announced that they are going to be making all of the comics at FOC, so that's their final order cutoff date, that falls within this month. All of that product is going to be returnable for us retailers.
Mm.
So it takes a lot less of a load off of our shoulders, you know, knowing that even if we order books and nobody comes in to buy them, we can send those back. We're not stuck with them. We're not out all of that money.
Comics community looks out for each other.
Yeah, they are also canceling all non-essential releases like second printings and reprints, which is very nice. They're also, as they say, offering suggestions to Diamond for ways to mitigate the impact of this crisis on retailers threatened by mandatory store closures. And they also said that they are looking at ways to reschedule and stagger the release of their comics, trade paperbacks, and graphic novels so they're not pumping product into the marketplace at a time when retailers and consumers alike are dealing with financial struggle for an indeterminate amount of time. All of this can be found in Eric Stevenson's sort of open letter that is posted on Image Comics' website. It's kind of sort of aimed at the big two, being like, hey, Image is stepping up. Maybe DC and Marvel should probably do it too.
I could go a week without having to unpack a whole shit ton of Marvel books.
I am curious how much retailers cut their orders this most recent final order cutoff day, which was this past Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Like seeing everything that had happened the week before, looking forward and seeing everything that was expected to happen. And I mean, how much more people are going to cut the following Monday? It's worrisome. There are other publishers that are trying to be helpful as well, though.
All right.
Vault Comics is bumping back all of their upcoming releases so that pretty much nothing is coming out in April. Dynamite is offering returnability on all of its books. They're kind of saying they're going to do whatever Image does as far as that returnability goes.
I see.
And then Boom, IDW, and DC have said they're working on things with Diamond, and I guess they're going to let us know what they decide to come up with because they haven't told us crap yet.
The wheels of production, they turn, and they turn slowly, but they turn deterministically, which makes them hard to stop.
Yeah.
You know, once you've spent a lot of money, it's kind of hard to reckon with not making that money back.
Yeah. And there is a shop that is already closed.
You mean a comic book store in light of COVID-19?
Yes.
As a direct result of this?
Yes.
That's terrible.
And it's very quick. Very quick. It was Lee's Comics in Mountain View, California.
Yeah. I mean, we only just started shuttering doors and businesses, what, 2 weeks ago, maybe?
I mean, maybe they were already in trouble and they didn't.
They would have had to have been.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they just looked ahead and thought, oh, man, I can't handle this. I can't swing this. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was someone who's just like, man, screw it. This is too much for me.
See, that's the perilous nature of comics retail. You could be underneath the pendulum already, and then something like this rolls around and it just tanks you.
So fingers crossed there won't be more store closures announced anytime soon. I'm really hoping everybody can weather this awful, awful storm. Just this week, Diamond let us put our books on sale a day early. A lot of shops hadn't even finished unpacking their books, but they were like, hey, sell your books on Tuesday instead of Wednesday.
Yeah, what's the point of that?
I guess they thought that if anybody was having to close on Wednesday to get their money in as quickly as possible, maybe it might get people like galvanized, be like, oh, I can get my books a day early. Nobody cared at our store, though.
Nobody cared.
I had to actually be like, hey, telling this one customer, you can actually buy the new Star Wars issue today. It's
out.
They allowed us. He's like, really? Well, okay, I guess I will. So I sold one issue early.
Good job. Good job. All right, MJ, let's shift gears to some standard comic news. We're not necessarily pretending that it's business as usual, but there are announcements that have been coming our way, and it is our duty as stewards of the comic book, whatever you want to call it, to read them out, I guess.
I do find it funny that a lot of this news is all about vampire books.
That might have been my fault.
Yeah, okay.
If that's okay with you, that is.
It's just very funny.
You got a problem with vampires?
No, I think they're...
You just stop there.
I think they're some of my favorite fictional scary things.
You weren't going to say anything else?
No, I was trying to form my words.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because it looked like you were going to say, my sexy creatures, or something to that effect. MJ owns an alarming amount of Anne Rice novels, almost to the point where I almost called the cops when she first brought me to her house.
What is wrong with that? I will have you know that at least one of the co-writers of the first book we're going to discuss is a huge fan of the Vampire Chronicles.
No.
And would be on my side 100%.
Lots of vampire comics coming down the pike in the next couple months, which I'm very excited about, as I also enjoy a good vampire story, particularly vampire comics.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So, MJ, let's talk about it a little bit. Who do you want to talk about first?
Well, since I already said I was going to do this one first, Vault Comics is doing a comic of Vampire the Masquerade.
The RPG from the 90s?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
And co-writing it is going to be Tim Seeley, Teenie Howard, who is my fellow Vampire Chronicles fan.
I understand.
And her husband, Blake Howard. Well, it's cool because she talks about how they play Vampire the Masquerade all the time. And I think it's really great that they are writing this together. The only other person that I would expect to possibly see involved in this is Ray Fox. Maybe in the future sometime.
That would be nice.
Even maybe on art, maybe on writing.
Ray looks like he's always in Vampire the Masquerade.
Shouldn't we always be, though?
Always looking rather dapper,
but
aloof.
This is based on
like he's about to bite you.
Yes, yes.
I like Ray.
But this is based on the internationally best-selling World of Darkness RPG universe. It's going to be illustrated by Devmalia Pramanik and Nathan Gooden, colors by Addison Duke, and covers from Aaron Campbell. Letters will be by And World Design.
Does Vampire the Masquerade, the adaptation, have a release date, MJ?
Yes, it says July. But I'm a little worried about giving release dates at this point, because mm-hmm. who knows when stuff's going to be pushed back.
That's another thing, guys. Keep in mind that solicits can be canceled, resolicited for another date. Anything can happen. Just stay aware.
Yeah, and Vault has already said that they are pushing back all their April titles, so I don't know if that's going to
affect
tandemly her. Push
yeah.
the rest.
Yeah, right.
We shall see.
Well, speaking of Vault and vampires, they got another damn vampire book coming out, this time in June. A book called Bleed Them Dry, A Ninja Vampire Tale. So it's not just a vampire story, it's a damn ninja vampire story.
Oh boy, oh boy.
In association with Lotus, Nagoya TV, and FJ DeSanto, Bleed Them Dry is brought to you by Hiroshi Koizumi, Elliot Rahal, artist DK Ruin, colorist Mikel Muerto, and designer Tim Daniel, because what is a Vault comic without the delicate artistic touch of Tim Daniel? I got a little bit of solicit info for this book, MJ, if you'll indulge me.
Please, please.
Quote, the year is 3333. Earth is in a state of recovery. Vampires are real, and though far less populous, they thrive alongside humans in the Japanese-engineered megacity known as Asylum. People have come to understand that some immortals are good, some are bad, and most navigate the world without incident. There is peace. That is, until now. Someone is brutally murdering vampires, and Detective Harper Holloway has been assigned to the case. To solve it, she'll have to unearth a much deeper truth. The future of humanity has been edited. End quote. It scared Audrey.
I don't know. I think she was excited.
She, too, is a creature of the night. So what do you think about Bleed Them Dry, MJ?
It sounds very intriguing. And you said this one comes out in June?
June 24th, for now.
Yes.
You can check out preview pages over on the Comics Beat if you are interested. This one I'll probably be checking out. Just considering the subject matter, sounds pretty damn good to me. MJ, there was one more vampire link in the sheet that I made for you. Would you like to talk about it now?
Yes, but this one has a naughty word in it, Jared.
Go for it.
I don't know if I should say it.
You know it's an explicit podcast.
Okay. It's Dracula Motherfucker by Alex DeCampi and Erica Henderson.
Dracula Motherfucker.
Yes.
That's what it's called.
Yes, but there's asterisks there, so I mean, I don't know what letters those are supposed to be.
Cut the shit. So, MJ, give us details on Dracula Motherfucker, if you will.
Well, in the press release, Alex DeCampi was talking about it a little bit, and what she said was, quote, "Another thing I wanted to bring to this pulp fantasia was a sensibility from horror anime, with its love of transformation and of the non-corporeal, to push the element of man as monster in directions specifically suited to sequential art. Things like the abstract portrayal of Alucard, or Pride in FMA Brotherhood, and the use of super flat art in Madoka Magica were tremendously inspirational in this book, especially as that use of flatness dovetails nicely with the work of Gustav Klimt in with the book's 1889 prologue, and with the late 1960s pop art and the psychedelic liquid light projections of the Joshua Light Show." I like these, where these esoteric descriptions are going.
That's Alex DeCampi for you.
All of those descriptions being drawn by Erica Henderson is going to knock it out of the park. The cover that they show us is colored very day glow. It looks a little Hammer horror. It looks really cool.
There's even a character in the preview pages, which you can see now on the beat, that looks like Carlo Winslow from Family Matters.
Oh my God, this art is so good. It does a lot.
Yes. And it's Erica Henderson. She's a total content junkie. You know that's not on accident.
Oh my God, this art is so beautiful.
Yeah, Erica Henderson really outdid herself here. So when does Dracula Motherfucker drop, MJ?
This comes out in comic shops on Wednesday, October 7th. And one thing we didn't mention, this is a graphic novel.
Oh.
This isn't just single issues.
Yeah.
And it's going to come out in bookstores, the book market, on the following Tuesday, October 13th.
Sounds great to me.
So with this much lead time, one can hope it's not going to have any sort of delay.
Of all the vampire press releases, MJ, that I shared with you, this is the one that I'm the most excited for. I mean, I'm excited for all of them, but this is the one I cannot wait to sink my teeth into.
Oh.
Yes, I've also been stashing that little joke for about 4 days now. I hope you enjoyed it.
Kept it in your little notebook.
Yeah.
Crossed it out now that you've said it.
Yeah. So MJ, like we said at the top of the episode, this is kind of a junk drawer episode, so we're just going to keep going with the news for a bit.
Yep.
Talk about some of the news that's come out between last week and today, and then maybe, I don't know, do the top five or something. Taking it easy this week. But before we do, I wanted to remind our listeners that we are currently still under the throes of a contest. A drawing, in fact.
A drawing?
A drawing. For you guys, all you have to do is hop over to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, we don't care which, leave us a 5-star review, and then we enter you into a drawing, where at the end of the month, during our solicits episode, we announce a winner who will receive a wonderful prize. MJ, will you tell them the wonderful prize that they will win or could win?
Not only could they possibly win Saga Volume 1 in paperback, but also Volume 2 and Volume 3.
That's 3 volumes of Saga for you, if you want it. And keep in mind, folks, for those of you who have left us reviews, thank you. You are still in the drawing if you have not won yet.
Yes.
That's right.
It's getting to be a big list of people.
The more reviews, the better. Reviews help other people discover this podcast, and we want more people to listen.
We hope you do, too.
So if you enjoy Casual Wednesdays, it's a great way to help us out. You also stand to win something out of it, and not only will you win Saga Volumes 1, 2, and 3, I'll also throw in some Doom Rocket stickers, because why the hell not?
Oh, boy.
And we're going to have drawings every month for the rest of the year, and if they prove to be popular, well, maybe we'll keep doing them. Who knows?
We've got enough stuff to keep on giving out, so yeah.
Once again, all you got to do, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, leave a 5-star review, say something nice, and you have our thanks. Okay, MJ, now that that's out of the way, let's get back into the news. What do you got?
Well, do you want to talk about some of the movies that have been postponed or had their production shut down since the pandemic?
I guess there's only one that I really want to talk about, because then it allows us to venture into my favorite segment of Casual Wednesdays, which is... Still don't have music for this segment. It's called Bat Flick Returns. Boom, boom, boom. But if I did get like Creative Commons music for this, it would be playing and you couldn't hear it.
But it's still more fun to hear you do your little sing-sing.
Damn, we're a couple of weirdos. So anyway, yeah, Batfleck Returns. Here we are talking about the Batman movie that's coming out in 2021, barring further apocalypse. Directed by Matt Reeves, starring Robert Pattinson. I'm very excited for this film, but its UK production has been stalled for the next 2 weeks at least because of the coronavirus.
That's not the only one. Shang-Chi was postponed.
That sucks. Marvel's Phase 4 is in trouble.
So has Avatar's New Zealand shoot.
That's right.
So has The Matrix 4's Berlin shoot.
Nobody's shedding any tears for Avatar, by the way, I'm pretty sure.
I'm sure they're, like, Jenny Nicholson might be.
Only because she's not going to have the content to make.
She likes Avatar. She posts about it all the time.
Does she actually like Avatar? Like, I watched her Avatar, what's that thing, the theme park that they made?
Yeah.
What's it called, Avatar Land?
Or something
Pandora?
Like that.
I don't know. I have never seen Avatar.
I think that's so crazy.
When did it come out? 2009?
It's the blockbuster film that made so much money that no one remembers. So I don't know. It was a blip in my memory. So, I mean, I can understand not remembering seeing it, but everybody saw it that time.
It really depends on what year it came out, because I was moving around a lot when I was younger, and I could have been living in a spot that didn't have a halfway decent IMAX theater, and that could have been it, because movie nerd / snob as I am, you don't have a decent IMAX to go with your IMAX presentation 3D film, I'm out.
Or you might have just been trying to stick it to James Cameron.
Didn't work, apparently. It made like $2 billion. But
yeah.
Anyway.
But that sequel has been postponed in its production.
And because I'm doomsaying Marvel's Phase 4 of its cinematic universe, the release date of Black Widow has officially been pushed back.
Yes. Which I am sad about, but it makes sense since pretty much every theater chain in the country has closed its doors for the foreseeable future.
Do you feel that this is an opportunity for Disney to test the waters of its Disney Plus capability and put Black Widow on Disney Plus instead of a theatrical release?
I'm not sure. Like, that's definitely a possibility that I'm sure they're discussing. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if they're going to only do that if they're forced to. Like, if this whole thing goes on for longer than anybody expects. And
or gets worse.
Yeah. They're like, well, we're going to have to drop it now. Let's put it on Disney Plus. But I think that's probably the only place that they would put it. I do wonder, though, if they would make it so that it wouldn't just be free to watch on Disney Plus. You'd have to buy it in Disney Plus or something like that. Or rent it within Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Like, do you think they would ever do that?
I think there would be, like, some sort of compromise with, like, Amazon, perhaps. And they would make it available for streaming on Amazon for a premium.
Yeah.
Like, $19.99.
Yeah, like, you have to purchase the digital copy or whatever.
Well, I don't know about purchase, but definitely be able to rent it for at least 48 hours, which is the standard protocol for all VOD. I don't know. I can't say.
Yeah, but along with lots of other movies, that was postponed. The Personal History of David Copperfield, starring Dev Patel, has been bumped back. Amy Adams' Woman in the Window is bumped back. They're also bumping back Fast and the Furious, the next one, A Quiet Place Part 2. And as we know, they bumped James Bond back to, what, November?
Yep.
Presumably because it has some sort of pandemic plot point.
Oh, I'm sure. All right, MJ, back to news. What's next?
That was still news, just not comics-y.
You're a rule breaker, a rebel.
Well, now I've got some 100% comics news, if you wanted it to be pure. Well, this is more news from Image, who right now, because of that open letter from Eric Stevenson, is my favorite publisher. But they have announced that Capra is going to transition to a miniseries format starting in June. It had seemed before that it was just like an ongoing series.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten up to what, issue 5 now?
Yeah, about.
Yeah. But starting in June, there's going to be a new miniseries called Capra, The Ochazon Saga.
Now, why are they making this transition? Are they going to be releasing the miniseries in a floppy format, or is it all getting collected in a graphic novel?
It is going to be coming out in floppy form.
All right.
Michel Fife talks about it as being something he's been building towards since the very beginning, and he describes it as Kirby by way of Hellraiser. It's apparently an entirely huge, crazy event, which is exciting.
That works for me.
Considering the comics that he loves to homage, his idea of a Kirby meets Hellraiser event, that's going to be some awesome stuff.
If you guys haven't checked out Copra yet, I'm pretty sure issue number 1 is available for free right now on the Image website, along with all their other debut issues.
It's funny, he does mention he is going to keep the legacy numbering on the books because he, you know, has an appreciation for the books that go to a high number. And I think at this point it would be the sixth volume, seventh volume, something like that. So those numbers are getting up there as far as, you know, in indie superhero book goes. It's very exciting.
It is exciting. And speaking of free comics, I got a piece of news for you, MJ.
Oh, really?
As you know, I am quite fond of comics that come out of 2000 AD.
Yes.
2000 AD is doing something quite spectacular for people who are self-isolating this season. They are giving away free copies of the entirety of Judge Dredd Case Files Volume 5. It's like over 480 pages of comics for absolutely free. These are digital versions, mind you. And there is another caveat. You do have to sign up for the Thrill Mail newsletter. But that should not be a hindrance in your decision-making in getting free comics, because their Thrill Mail comes out every week. It directs you to their podcast, which rules, their Thrillcast. It gives you release dates for all their graphic novel collections and their weekly 2000 AD comic book magazine. Also, their Judge Dredd magazine. Also, in every single Thrill Mail, you get at least one strip of comics for free every week anyway.
So you're just signing up for the newsletter. You're not paying for anything. It's still 100% free.
Exactly.
What's the cost? No cost.
They'll send you an email. You click the link. It takes you over to their shop. You download it. It's yours.
That is an excellent thing for them to do.
Features such strips as The Psychos, Assault on iBlock 4, and The Apocalypse War. You can get all of that and more. If you just go over to 2000AD's Twitter account and click the links that they have provided. You will thank yourself later, I promise you.
I would like to thank you for including that. That's a great little bit of news.
You're welcome. So, MJ, since we're clearly padding for time here, do you have any other news you want to talk about?
Well, I was going to mention that there's going to be a new creative team on Justice League.
Say what?
Yeah, starting in June. After writer Robert Venditti and artist Doug Monkey were only on for like 8 issues. This is another run that was seemingly going to be a longer run, similarly to how we were talking about Steve Orlando's run
on
last
Wonder
week.
Woman, right?
Yeah. And now, apparently, starting with issue 48, we're going to have writer Simon Spurrier, artist Aaron Lopresti, and Matt Ryan starting June 3rd.
Wild.
Issue 48, and then issue 49 on June 17th, and issue 50 on July 1st.
This has to be fallout from the Dan DiDio exit. Has to be.
I guess so.
I mean, Wonder Woman and Justice League aren't B-list DC books. These are their flagship titles.
Yeah. I'm not upset about it, because Cy Spurrier is definitely a fave of mine.
Mm-hmm.
His dreaming was really cool, and I really want to see him do some superhero stuff. This is cool.
Yeah.
So, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, again, it is weird.
It is strange.
They touted the Venditti run and this Steve Orlando run as being the new runs, and one would assume they meant for longer than 8 issues.
Right. Still, this all leads up to Justice League number 50, which is going to be a big book and everyone's going to buy it. So good on Cy Spurrier.
Yeah, it's going to be an arc called Rule of War. And Cy Spurrier says, quote, expect 80-ish pages of war, peace, tyranny, starborn abominations, and cosmic pronouns scattered across 3 issues. End quote.
Wow. All right, MJ. Now that we're at the tail end of our news selection for this week, I wanted to direct you to a couple of pieces of listener feedback from last week's episode.
Okay.
You seem surprised.
I didn't know you were going to include listener feedback.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. So for those of you who did not listen to last week's episode, we did a recap of Volume 5 in the Sandman series titled A Game of You, which I felt went pretty well.
I enjoyed it.
I can always tell when an episode does well because then we actually get feedback. And if you ever feel compelled to give feedback to any of our episodes, all you got to do is hit us up at info@doomrocket.com or hit us up on Twitter. But I actually did have a big question that I asked you last week about the rabbit test in terms of like pregnancy.
Yes,
and stuff like
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, I was really confused by it.
I always thought it was some kind of vague mention of some superstitious thing. I didn't know it was referring to a real thing.
All right. So I want to start with an email sent to us by Clyde Hall.
Hi, Clyde.
Hey, Clyde. Hope you're doing well. Clyde says, quote, enjoy the casual Wednesday's analysis of A Game of You. I must go back and read it again. I missed a lot of content in this originally, and it was not, in that era, a very enjoyable part of the series to me. But listening to you and Molly Jane discussing and illuminating it makes me want to experience it again. You mentioned the dead rabbit pregnancy discussion. Before home pregnancy tests, this is how pregnancy was often confirmed. I'm just old enough to remember a lot of punchlines about the rabbit died and references in TV reruns a generation before my time. He provides a Wikipedia link, which I'm not going to click. And he concludes by saying, if you already knew all this and I'm boomersplaining, please forgive. End quote. That's from Clyde. Thanks, Clyde.
We appreciate the info because we did not know that.
And I'm not going to click that link because Gene Ha, Eisner Award-winning Gene Ha, came to the rescue on the Doom Rocket page and said, quote, top of the head responses on Game of You read-through. I had no idea about Colleen Durant's inker sabotaging her art. That hurts. I think that was the first time I had read her art. I didn't associate it with the Colleen Durant whose work I read later because it was so different. And Killing the Rabbit. The first reliable pregnancy test was the rabbit test, created in the 1930s. A rabbit was injected with urine from a woman, and if the woman was pregnant, her hormones caused visible changes to the rabbit's ovaries. To see if the ovaries had changed, the rabbit had to be dissected. Yes, very much like an ancient Roman augury. In my youth, the rabbit died still meant someone was pregnant. End quote. So thanks, Jane and Clyde.
So, like, the rabbit died either way.
Yeah. Yeah.
What an inhumane test. I am glad we have moved past it.
Yeah, and it's interesting that this, something like this, would cause people to react to our episode. Mm-hmm. Not just standard stuff. Like, how are we doing? Or tell us what you're reading. Or stuff like that. The rabbit test. That's what brings people to our door.
It's just funny, the generational gap. It's just a thing that we hadn't heard of. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Yeah. Makes me feel young. No, it doesn't. Well, anyway, MJ, are you ready for the top five?
Are we already hopping to the top five?
Yeah, we don't have an episode this week.
Then yes, I am ready.
All right, let's do it. I picked a hell of a week to have the three, MJ. You've got the two, of course. But you went and snuck into the Casual Wednesday script page and took two of my picks when you knew that I wanted them for this week.
See, you say that they're your picks, but I am the one that pre-ordered them. I love the creators involved in both of these books just as much as you.
Yeah.
Well, I have just as much of a right.
You sir. Left me scrambling this week. You left me scrambling to find a couple of picks this week. But anyway, I'm not daunted. I'm going to just pick them willy-nilly on the fly. I have a stack of comics of this week's releases right here, and I'm just going to grab them at random because all of them are worth our listeners' time. So how do you like that?
I'm excited for the surprise.
You cannot defeat me. Anyway, first pick this week, another facsimile edition.
This is a good one.
From DC Comics, who reprinted Robin's first appearance in a facsimile edition. Love the presentation. Love everything about DC's facsimile editions in general. This one looks glorious. It is The Brave and the Bold number 28, which I don't have to tell you features the first appearance of the Justice League of America.
With that iconic Starro cover.
Facing down Starro the Conqueror, this facsimile edition, painstakingly recreated by DC, can be yours for $3.99 if you head over to your comic shop or have it delivered to you, whatever. This features the all-star lineup Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Superman, Green Lantern, Batman, Flash, and John Jones. The original seven.
Together again for the first time.
That's right. Well, put together for the first time.
Again for us because we've read them together many times.
I guess that's true. If that roster sounds familiar to you, it's because Grant Morrison brought it back for JLA number one back in 1997, which was a dollar comic also on offer from this week.
We also had a dollar comic of JLI this week too, JLI number one.
And this is also why I asked that Snapper Carr question, because I flipped through this morning. I was like, oh yeah, Snapper Carr. What the hell happened to him? Anyway, Brave and the Bold number 28, the facsimile edition available now from DC. That's my first pick. MJ, what's first for you?
Well, my first pick this week is a Boom book.
Mm.
This is from creators that both you and I adore. We've done multiple episodes on them, mentioning them, promoting all of their stuff. This is Wicked Things number one. It is created and written by John Allison, art by Max Sarin, colors by Whitney Koger, letters by Jim Campbell.
That's the Giant Days team.
Yes, yes, it is. And this focuses on a character that was shown in Giant Days.
She was a featured character.
And is part of the Bobbins verse that takes place in. Mm-hmm. So the main character in this is Charlotte Grote. And she is a teen sleuth. And this book is so ding-dang delightful. And it's funny because we were just talking, Jared and I, the other day about how much we want to watch and read mysteries, murder mysteries lately. We've watched Knives Out again. We watched the 74 version of Murder on the Orient Express.
With Albert Finney.
We're talking about how nice it is to watch a procedural or something that you follow the clues and you get to your logical conclusion by the end. How reassuring it is.
It really is.
In these troubling times.
My God.
And I have a feeling that this is going to end in the same reassuring, all of the puzzle pieces fitting together kind of way. And I love it so far. And it's just nice to see this team back together with similarly delightful dialogue and art as they had in Giant Days.
It's a little darker than Giant Days, though, because it is a mystery.
It is. Mm-hmm. There may be some murder afoot, but we shall see.
Absolutely.
But the main character is in the running for a Best Teen Sleuth Award. And she goes to like a little convention for it, hijinks ensue.
As they must.
Yes.
That's right.
I highly recommend it. Wicked Things number one from Boom Studios. What's your next pick for the week?
Another DC book. This one's a collection and a hardcover to boot, which can be pricey in these trying times. But if you have the means, I highly recommend it. If you're a trade waiting for this particular story, Batman Universe, now collected by DC in hardcover.
But how much is it?
$24.99.
See, that's really cheap for a hardcover.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a beautiful hardcover.
It is.
I don't think $25 for that is too much at all. That is, in fact, a deal. If you happen to have the bucks to spend, if you don't already have the single issues, I mean, because the paperback's probably going to be 20.
When it comes out.
Yeah.
If it comes out.
If you're feeling like a splurge this week, if you want to support your LCS.
And you want a complete story, Batman Universe is the one.
A completely great story.
This is written by Brian Michael Bendis. It's illustrated by Nick Darrington. It's colored by Dave Stewart. And it's lettered by Troy Bateri. That's an all-star team for an all-star book. This might be my favorite Batman story of the decade. It's that good. If I had to liken it to anything, I'd compare it to Morrison's All-Star Superman.
I definitely felt that flavor.
Mm-hmm. It is of that flavor. It is not of that scope, but it definitely pays as much homage to all the iterations of Batman that have come and gone throughout the 80 years of his existence, all encapsulated in one beautiful tome. Batman Universe hardcover out today from DC. MJ, what's next for you?
My next book is from Dark Horse. This is X-Ray Robot number one. Story and art by Michael Allred. Color art by Laura Allred. Lettering by Nate Piekos. I don't think I need to say anything else other than it's written and drawn by the Allreds. Like, that's all that I need to see on a book to read it.
And for folks of you who need a little solicit boost for X-Ray Robot, I got it for you right here. Quote, Max is a family man seeking a more interesting life. While conducting a new experiment at work, the fabric of his reality is torn before his eyes and a robotic figure appears, claiming to be his 277-year-old self. The robot is able to X-ray multiple dimensions and battles a nihilistic entity from another dimension who wants to take all life to its pre-Big Bang status. Max and the robot embark on an interdimensional road trip through past and future to take down the nihilist and save the universe.
I'm so excited for this comic.
You stole this comic from my pick. I wanted it this week, but you had it.
That is because I must always recommend an Allred comic anytime it is available because they are the best. What is your last pick for the week?
Another DC book with an addendum attached to it. If you guys are at your store, the second issues of Undone by Blood and Tartarus are both available, and I highly recommend them. These are two series with a great promise, but this one issue right here got me kind of giddy, considering the character attached to it.
Giddy like a schoolboy, huh?
Yeah, that's right, something like that. Robin, the 80th anniversary Super Spectacular. Now, this book is $10, which is a lot of money, I know, but it is 100 pages of nonstop Robin action, and it covers the gamut. All the Robins are featured in here, up to and including Stephanie Brown.
What about Carrie?
Carrie Kelly? She's got a cover by Frank Miller.
She does. She's on the 80s cover. That's right. The 80s cover's her.
That's right. I got the Jim Chung cover
with
the Tim Drake and the impeccable Robin trade dress and logo design. No Carrie Kelly featured in here. But it does feature stories of our various Robins in different stages of their life. So there's a Dick Grayson Robin story, a Dick Grayson Nightwing story, and a Dick Grayson Agent 37 story, which I felt was a nice touch. We got a Jason Todd story and a couple of Damian Wayne stories, one that includes his super friend, Jonathan Kent.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. So if you like Robin anywhere near as much as I do, I think this is a must-buy for you. Robin, the 80th anniversary Super Spectacular one-shot from DC.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that wraps up our top five most anticipated issues of the week. Every week, we take to social media to ask you guys a pressing question on our minds. And this week's question, because things are rather grim these days, we wanted to ask, what's your favorite comics issue or story that doesn't deal with a major calamity or crisis? A quiet issue, let's say. And why is it so special for you? We asked on Twitter, you guys answered. MJ, will you please take it away?
Over on Facebook, Ryan Fanzen says, there was this post-Onslaught issue of X-Men where they were having breakfast and Quicksilver set the table at super speed and Psylocke showed up in uniform because, you never know, it was my first downtime issue of a comic ever and solidified those as my favorite stories.
Holly Loki at Holly Loki said the whole Hawkeye and Pizza Dog storyline is golden, but my second fave is when Hawkeye lost his hearing and all the word balloons became sign language. I learned sign language from a deaf girl who grew up in a Russian orphanage. A few of the symbols are different from ASL, American Sign Language, largely the same. Sign language should be our primary international language.
Those were some good issues. Over on Facebook again, Dirk Vanover says, maybe it was just the era of when I started reading, but I remember Uncanny X-Men 297 being great. Personal stories, great character development, and a nice breather after a big event.
Alfred Alley, former Doom Rocket contributor Alfred Alley, I should say, at Alfred Alley, hey Alfred, said, Hellboy eating pancakes for the first time was actually my first introduction to the comics and the art of Mike Mignola. Been a fan ever since.
Pancakes. Back on Facebook, Matt Strawbridge says, both on Paul Jenkins' run of Peter Parker Spider-Man, numbers 20 and 35. A perfect Peter Parker story and a perfect what Spider-Man means to others story. Pencils by Buckingham. Just beautiful and sad and triumphant. Paul Jenkins, Peter Parker. Perfect.
Thomas O'Connor at Tom Types Words says, Wolverine Volume 3, Number 6, very specific, from Greg Rucka's run. In the issue immediately before, Wolverine totally lost his shit and massacred a Southern Doomsday Prepper cult. Wolverine is joined by Nightcrawler in a bar as he tries to drink it away and convince himself he is not an animal.
That sounds good.
That sounds like a Jason Aaron issue. All right.
Back on Facebook, Ken Small says, Batman, the Knight of Thanks But No Thanks. While on patrol, every supposed crime or emergency that Batman runs into turns out to be a misunderstanding.
Nathan Chio at Nathan Chio on Twitter said, Miss Marvel number 31, in which Kamala Khan struggles to finally reveal to her friends that she is Miss Marvel, only to have them confess that they have known for quite some time but haven't mentioned it in order to love and support her.
Yeah. Back on Facebook, Amy Laura says, Alias number 10. One of the few comics I consider just a perfect issue. The format is bizarre and I love it, and it inspires you to slow down and read the comic differently. The punch of JJJ realizing just what Jessica Jones has been invoicing him for, too. God, that's the chaotic good we need in the world.
Mm. Jeremy Burleigh at Jeremy said, Kabuki Alchemy by David Mack. The rest of the series is uber-violent crisis conflict. All good stuff, but this final volume is a meditation on creativity and trying to find meaning and purpose in life. Beautiful in every sense of the word.
Over on Twitter, Eric Palicki agreed with Amy Laura and said, Alias number 10, J. Jonah Jameson hires Jessica Jones to uncover Spider-Man's secret identity.
Trapped in the belly of this horrible machine, at Elijah D. Prophet said, the epilogue of Executioner's Song, when Beast and Archangel spend a night rebuilding a bar that got wrecked earlier in the story and just kind of chat about when they were kids. I like any X-Men story where they spend time living their lives, basketball issues, baseball issues, etc. Also fun to see artists draw them in various civilian clothes.
A lot of X-Men books in here. Justin Jordan on Facebook says, I don't know that it's precisely quiet, but that Jim Lee illustrated issue with X-Men where Wolverine and Cap are on an adventure during World War II remains one of my favorite comic issues ever. I believe Black Widow was involved in that as well.
Elijah Baim, the Unabridged Gamer at Unabridged Gamer said, most of Giant Days is like this, and I love it for that. Even when characters are being adorably bonkers, they're never bleak or depressing. And we've got time for one more MJ. Please take it away.
On Facebook, Jim Silas Moore says, the first one that comes to mind is X-Factor 87, where the team gets psychoanalyzed by Doc Samson in the wake of Executioner's Song. I was maybe 11 or 12 when it came out, and I was fascinated by the fact that the characters were just sitting there talking like real people about their insecurities and what they'd just been through. Great, insightful dialogue by Peter David. Early Joe Quesada art. I went back to that issue over and over again. David did a sequel in his second X-Factor run, I remember that I only read once, but I remember it being good too.
So now here we are, MJ, in the back matter of the episode. And now that we're here, what have you been doing to decompress during these trying times?
Submerging myself in news on Twitter and making myself more stressed out.
That does not sound productive at all.
What I'm going to be doing is instituting a moratorium on being on social media for too long.
I think that's a good idea.
To de-stress and then also to give myself more time to read.
That's right. And on that tack, what do you have planned to read?
There are a lot of issue number ones that came out this week, and I want to dig into those and to try and catch up on all the rest of my stuff. As we have always discussed, I have a lot of books that I'm behind on that I need to read.
It's true what you say about all these debuts. In fact, an entire comic company just launched this week. Artists, Writers, and Artisans, short AWA, released first issues of their entire line today.
Yeah, four new series.
Let's see, we've got Hotel. There being two L's inferring that it's hell, and it's a horror anthology, and not terrible. I like the first issue quite a bit.
It was also Archangel 8, written by our friend Mike Morrissey.
Local fave, Mike Morrissey, that's right. Red Patrol, which seems to have a lot of topical elements towards it.
And probably the highest profile release is Resistance.
Written by J. Michael Straczynski and illustrated by Mike Diodato.
Also, apparently, that one focuses around the world after it's been decimated by a pandemic.
So very topical.
That's not going to be exactly escapist reading, but you know.
Right. This entire line is definitely a bro show, and it's being headlined by Axel Alonso, former editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics. So all those issues are out. That's something that you could read if that's something you're interested in this week.
Yeah.
I read Hotel and Archangel 8 and enjoyed, or at least appreciated, both for what they were.
We've also got the new Spider-Woman series starting out today.
That's right. Lots of debuts this week.
Yeah.
Up to and including X-Ray Robot and
Wicked Things.
Wicked Things.
Wicked.
That's right. What did you think of that issue?
Wicked Things?
Yeah.
I like I mentioned in the top five, I loved it.
I loved it too.
Yeah.
But we're easy marks because we both love Giant Days.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a fun read for anybody who checks it out, especially somebody who's looking for some light entertainment, but a little bit dark, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mystery afoot. Some light entertainment in these troubling times.
That's right. And Max Aaron's art somehow keeps getting better with every single issue that they put out. It's absolutely phenomenal.
It looks awesome.
I don't know how Saren does it, but they seem to wield the entire spectrum of human expression like a magic wand. It's incredible how each character just conveys the exact appropriate emotion.
It's almost a little overly expressive at times, kind of a little bit manga-esque, but it fits in with everything else.
Especially
so
with
perfectly.
How manic John Saren's scripts are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's perfect. As far as debuts go, you don't have to read a page of Giant Days to know exactly what you're getting yourself into with this.
Oh, yeah, not at all. Yeah. And I think there are other stories not in Giant Days that involve this character, which you also don't need to read. You are told everything you need to know, and oh, I love it. I love it.
So as far as debuts go, if you had to give it a score between 1 and 10, what would you give it?
8.5?
I'm tempted to
say 9.
I'm giving it a 9.
Yeah?
Yeah, solid 9-10 book. And that's the perfect score that Doom Rocket gives. Very rarely do we give a 10. But yeah, Wicked Things. Makes me think of that Chris Isaak song, but that's Wicked Games.
The wicked game to play.
To make me feel this way. I'm not going to sing it.
Makes me think of, what Lynch movie was that in?
Wild at Heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should watch that.
Speaking of John Allison, though, MJ, now you have the perfect opportunity to get caught up on Giant Days, finally.
I'm not gonna.
What?
Because
Why?
Then it will never be over. It will never be over if I don't finish it.
I can't give you a hard time. I actually have the holiday special sitting in my reading stack that I've refused to read for the longest time. But now that Wicked Game, I keep saying Wicked Game because of that Chris Isaak song. But because of Wicked Things, now I could read them and feel okay knowing that Max Saren and John Allison may potentially continue in this quote-unquote universe for some time. Read at least one trade collection, why don't you?
Maybe. I've got the issues. What do I need to read the trades for?
You can do whatever you want. Just make sure that you read them.
I'll think about it, okay?
Oh, boy.
I don't need the added sadness of cementing in my brain that Giant Days is done. Okay.
But it is done.
No.
I dealt with it. Now you have to.
No. La, 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 la.
And that's it. That's all the time we have for this week's Casual Wednesdays. Need more of this dweeby little podcast in your life? Check out our episode archive over on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify. Rate, follow, subscribe, whatever you want to do. Just tell us how we're doing or click Casual Wednesdays over on DoomRocket.com. New episodes every Wednesday afternoon. And while you're at it, look us up on Twitter. I'm at @JaredJones_MJ. Where can they find you?
@MollyJane_K.
So until the day we actually get an episode out on a Wednesday, I remain Jared. That's MJ. And from all of us here at DoomRocket.com, have a great and safe new comic book day. It's true, MJ. We got to keep on schedule here.
I noticed that as you were saying that. It's like, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Hasn't been Wednesday in a bit.
Hello, Thursday, my old friend.